So I can have you picture in picture, and I can have even split screen. So I have my notes, I have my Nosby, and I have you on FaceTime, and it's all happening on one iPad Pro. And you're saying this is not a proper computer. F you.
Well, you know, you know what also can handle even more than three Windows at the time? A Macintosh. Hello, I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is the podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
So we're back to books again, and this is going to be, I think, rather unusual because you insisted on discussing this book I have not read.
Yeah, so the reason is simple. This book is about simplicity, it's about Steve Jobs, and it just ties very well, I think. Well, we'll discuss and we'll see if it really does tie that well with the previous episode's talk on productivity. Mm-hmm. And with our previous discussions on deep work, essentialism, the one thing, and all these, you know, focus. So because we recorded yesterday, actually, and we're recording today again, because we're catching up after my vacation and Easter vacation and whatever. So it just, like, after yesterday's recording, this book just popped up as something that just ties in perfectly for me. So I wanted to, you know, and I'll we'll put a link in the show notes to my notes from this book, so you can check it out already.
Yeah, I only read your notes, which is great. That's like one of a few books for which you have notes published online.
Yeah,
which is what I try to encourage you to do more of.
Exactly. Yeah, I try to encourage myself to do more of that as well. Yeah. So, and it's really useful because now when I was getting back to this book, when I just read my notes, you know, all of these examples from the book just, you know, appeared magically in my head. So, yeah, it's a great reminder.
Cool.
Okay. So, the book we're talking about is by Ken Siegel, and it's called Insanely Simple: The Obsession That Drives Apple's Success. Mm-hmm. And well, the cool thing about the author of this book is that he actually worked with Steve Jobs because he is an ad executive and he has a very good blog we'll link in the show notes, which I keep reading. So he worked with him. And so it's not like, you know, he read something, you know, online and published a book about Steve Jobs because everybody did that. He worked with Steve Jobs. And he focused on this simplicity thing, on simplicity, on the simple stick that or shtick that Steve Jobs was famous for. And again, this was one of the books that when I read it, I thought, well, there can't be anything new there. I've already, you know, read a few biographies of Steve Jobs, so it should be like pretty straightforward. But it wasn't. It was there was like this. Focus on simplicity was very important. And I wanted to discuss this with you today, Radek, because recently I found myself behaving a little bit like Steve Jobs with people. And
like being a jerk to them?
Yeah, but in a different, like, not really a jerk, like kind of a jerk. And yeah, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because like I start behaving like a jerk when I don't mean to be a jerk. I just mean to be, you know, to go straight to the point. Mm-hmm. So let me give you a story. Steve Jobs, in this book, there were a few stories of him. And the idea was that he embraced simplicity in everything, not just mm-hmm. the product design, which is famous, like, you know, the click wheel of the iPod, you know, all these, you know, simple things like the home button of the iPhone, but also the way he communicated things with people. So he would, because he cared so much for simplicity, and it was, he wouldn't want to waste time on the, like, on the noise, right? Mm-hmm. He would just focus on the signal, right? So, for example, somebody would tell him something and he would just say, "This is shit." And he would say that because, although he could have said, "You know, I respect your opinion. I think you did a great job there. But, you know, in my humble opinion," I would like, he would just skip all that. He would just go straight to the point. Mm-hmm. And for many people, this would be offensive, or this would be just too direct, right? This would be
right.
too, you know, straightforward, and this would offend them because, you know, they for example spend lots of time building something, and then he would just outright criticize this, and from what the author is saying, that he was criticizing that because, but he wasn't criticizing the person, he was criticizing the thing, you know, the design, and then he would tell them why, right? It was, you know, shit. So he would focus on that, but he would be really too straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, you know, like, and of course, the problem is that with such simplicity, this you know, we're not used to this kind of, you know, communication. But what I found out recently is that when I was, you know, focusing on my essential intent, on what I should focus on our, you know, Nosby, on the future of Nosby, on my blog, on the things that I want to just, you know, relentlessly, like, make them better, I realized that very often when people come to me with some requests or some things that I know that are noise and are not in line with what I want to do, I instinctively almost want to tell them, you know, just go away, right? Instead of, you know, you know what I'm saying? I start to begin to lose, like, not to lose patience, but to not to have patience to do the kind, nice thingy, but I would just tell to them, you know, outright, okay, I don't want that, thank you, it's great, but I want to just do that, and that's it. So, and this is, and I found myself in a few situations like this recently, and I saw that it sounded harsh.
Yeah, that's my problem, or strength, depending on the context, I guess, which is that I have very low tolerance for bullshit, and I'm just naturally inclined to just say it, like, if, like Steve Jobs, if I don't think something is good, I'm just going to say it, right? And you have to be careful with that to make sure that the intent is clear to the other person, that you're just discussing, say, a design, like when you're working on a product at work, and not criticizing them, right?
Yeah, there was a great example. In this book, one of the takeaways from this book is, like, it's think small. So small groups of smart people.
Yeah.
So he was trying to have this small group of smart people around him. They would have this report that they would be able to just say these things. And I think it's kind of what we have in our company when we have our design fight, which we discussed earlier, that within this group, we can just skip things, and we just can say things out loud, and people can say things to me, although I'm the boss, and I can say things to them, and it doesn't mean I'm going to fire them. So we can really just be very frank with each other, and I really appreciate that, because I think it cuts a lot of time from our meetings, and it really, you know, makes us more laser focused, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest the key to making it work is creating a culture, nurturing a culture in an organization that allows this and celebrates this. Because I have a sense that that's naturally kind of the assumption in our culture more broadly is that you're not like that. You do hide behind this kind of curtain of politeness, right? And even if you disagree, you're going to communicate it in a very weak way, because you don't want to communicate an intent of, like, you attacking another person like someone personally. But this is quite unproductive. Like, if you want to collaborate closely and like in the context of Steve Jobs, like working on products, like you can't, you know, allow a situation where politeness keeps you from just telling the truth out loud, or, you know, your strong opinion, and then have it discussed. So you know, it's one thing that on a personal level you have to learn how to control it, and on one hand be direct, and on the other hand be careful not to come off as too harsh. But I think you just, like, if you want to communicate in this way, you have to create an environment where this is possible.
Yeah, and there's a great story in this book that explains when he took the time to actually communicate his way of thinking to the ad company that he was working with, because there was a story that he showed up on a meeting and a briefing, and they had so they were supposed to create a series of ads for something, and they didn't have a good idea, but they called the meeting anyway, because, you know, it was supposed to happen anyway. So everybody came there and they showed him a few of their ideas. Mm-hmm. But they were not really convinced that they were good ideas, but, you know, they wanted to show him something. And in a normal environment, you know, this is fine. The exec says, you know, let's think about it, you know, like, and Steve Jobs just saw it. He looked at it and he was like, no, this is total crap. And he just left.
Right.
And they just were like left floored. They didn't know what to do. You know, did he fire us or not, or what to do? But anyway, next week, they prepared another series of proposals, but a lot better. They found out, you know, what they were trying to do, and they prepared a series of proposals, and they called the meeting again. He showed up again, and before the meeting, he said, "Okay, guys, before we start, I want to just explain what happened last week. Last week, you showed me something that was shit. And you knew it was bad, I knew it was bad, everybody knew it was bad, but you still showed me anyway. I don't tolerate this. I don't want this to happen anymore. If you don't have anything, let's just call it and go home. But don't waste my time." And this way, he explained his rationale, his way of thinking, his way of acting. And I think, you know, he set expectations, and then as you said, then he created, they understood the relationship, and they understood what they can show to him, and that they only can show him stuff that they really believe in, or otherwise they just should show nothing at all.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good, right? I mean, perhaps he should have explained it right away and not
exactly
a week later, but that's that makes a lot of sense, because as you said, he said the expectations that they're here to discuss real stuff, like they're supposed to make a great product and not just make a meeting to make a meeting to try to impress him with them doing work,
busy work, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, the funny thing is, when I told the story to my wife, and then because I really liked the story, and I told it to my wife, and next time we were supposed to watch a movie, and I was browsing through iTunes to rent a movie, and I didn't find anything really like I really wanted to watch, mm-hmm. But I was like, "Honey, maybe let's watch this one, or maybe this one," and she was like, "You know that we don't want to watch these movies. So why are you wasting my time?" You know. So she just
that's pretty good.
Used the story in my face. But what I'm getting at is that, as you said, what we don't want ultimately is create a mediocre product just because we agree to something because we want to be nice to somebody or we want to please somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't want the situation when you propose something, for example, I don't like it, and I think it's bad, and instead of, you know, fighting with you to find a better solution, I'm like, yeah, but you wanted that, so let's just put it there because, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You know, this for me is toxic. This for me is not getting things done.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned before that you have to created an environment for this, and I was just browsing through my book notes because I was trying to find the book in which I something like this was discussed, and that was one of the chapters in Smarter, Faster, Better. And the idea is that the two norms, like the two kind of unspoken rules, the pieces of team dynamics that are necessary for this to work, is, first of all, kind of psychological safety. Like you have to feel safe expressing your opinion, and that's a consequence of respecting everybody else's. So like if it's not the point by itself to have like team cohesion, to be like nice to each other. You do want to fight, like, because like you're trying to figure something out, but for this to happen, everybody needs to feel psychologically safe in expressing where they stand. And the other thing, and that's what I guess allows the first one is empathy, just kind of learning, trying to be sensitive to how others on the team feel, to kind of notice when you're when something you say can was taken the wrong way, and then correct to reassure that you're not offending the person, you're just freely expressing what you think because you're trying to get to the best kind of final and to the best end result you can achieve.
Yeah, I just recently discovered that that because I'm trying to simplify my life and simplify and more focus and more like make it just more meaningful in this way, and I caught myself a few times when I realized that I was taking a shortcut, I was trying to quickly say, react to something instead of first establishing this report, first establishing this relationship. And but as you said, it's good that when you realize that you have to just correct the course, right? You have to just, just recently, because we are here for the Easter break, and I'm at my mom's place with the whole family. I recently just said something to my mom, and she felt hurt, and I was like, why would she feel hurt? And then I realized, I took a shortcut. I just said it to, I just went straight to the point, mm-hmm. without realizing her feelings, So I had to remedy this. I didn't want to hurt my mom.
Empathy is nice. I think it's going to be difficult if you're this direct all the time. I think it makes more sense to appreciate that, for example, like you're at work and we have this environment that allows this, and then you're always direct all the time unless you notice that it was taken the wrong way. But like when you're outside of this environment where you know for a fact that people, get it, that this is just like a better, more efficient way to communicate, as long as you understand and that like we still respect each other. Outside of that group, like when you're speaking to mere mortals, you probably should follow the usual kind of politeness standards.
Yeah, totally. Well, anyway, so that was one of the concepts from the book, and there were more, and I wanted to focus on also editing, because just recently I was giving a few presentations, and whenever I'm doing a presentation and webinars, and when I do them, I really appreciate this thing of trying to simplify each slide and simplify each thing I want to say. And mm-hmm. Because Steve Jobs was very famous for, when he was doing his keynote speeches, that his slide would be basically like what he was showing, and then maybe one sentence on or one word, very, very simple, very to the point. And there was a phrase in this book that words are powerful, but more words are not more powerful, that, less is more and everything. And so what I do first when I create a presentation for a webinar, like or for a keynote speech or whatever, what I do is I first create a mind map. And in this mind map, I describe the things I want to discuss. But later I edit them to make, the shortest versions possible. And mm-hmm. it's a great way to realize if if the concept stands the test of time, and if it really makes sense to transmit. Because if I cannot edit it down, it might think that the thing is too ambiguous or too just complicated or too complex to just transmit to people. So I should focus on something else, or I should just divide it into smaller pieces. Because this was really highlighted in this book, that really Steve Jobs was always trying to capture with each slide the essence of what he wanted to convey, you know, really, really make things simple, make things digestible, make things impactful. Because a short sentence, picture, image was more powerful than just, you know, a whole deck of different, you know, PowerPoint slides.
But it takes time. It's it takes a lot of work to edit something out like that. I would have written you a shortened letter if I had more time.
Right.
Whoever said that, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I noticed it very painfully when we had the Denosby reunion 3 weeks back, and I did my presentation, and I did not have the time to edit it out. I did not have the proper time to prepare. I just made the slides, and then I went with the flow. And, well, the result was that it took a lot of time, and it just was way too long, way too boring. By contrast, like, when I would make a technical presentation on a conference or something, then it's just, like, 20 minutes, and it's, like, pretty much every word is precisely the word I planned to say and nothing else.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with your presentation.
I was very disappointed with myself.
It wasn't you, Renaud. I mean, because I remember you on different, you know, like, really, to everyone listening, when we went to London and you had the presentation in London, we were in the same room in London in our hotel. Yeah. So what happened was that you would force me to listen to your presentation like 3 or 4 times, because you were so relentless about, you know, repeating, about trying, about preparing, and, you know, doing really a good job. So and this time you it was obvious you were not very prepared. So it was It was a difference. There was a big difference between the presentation that you delivered on our reunion and the one before that I witnessed. So shame on you.
I know. But it just shows how much time it takes. Like I'm incapable of just doing it. It takes time, right? But that makes sense. Like as a writer or presenter, whatever. But as a writer, it's kind of your responsibility to, like, invest your time to make something more impactful and not waste time of the reader or listener, right?
Yeah, the last webinar that we had about the additional tips and tricks for productivity for 10 steps, like of my 10 steps course, I thought, you know, because I know all this stuff, it's going to be take me just a few minutes, you know, maybe 1 hour, 2 hour tops, I'm going to have the presentation ready. It took me 2 days to prepare the presentation, 2 days. And I went through it like, I don't know how many times. But yeah, as you said, to do it right, you just have to just work a lot to go to the essence. But then the delivery is great, and then you get great feedback. So it's really worth it.
Yeah, that's why I don't speak on conferences and meetups very often, and especially this year, I have like nothing planned so far compared to last year where there was a lot. And when I do, I do the same thing on like a conference and a few meetups, because I know I can do it, and I know that when I do it. I don't think I'm that bad at it, but it's just takes a lot of my time, and you know I don't get that much benefit from it aside from the fact that it's just fun to do. So it's kind of difficult to justify it, because I don't want to do it and do a crappy job at it. If I'm not going to put in the work, then it's better to not do it at all.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to discuss from this book, and something that struck home for me recently, was that our company is growing, and we are, you know, 20 something people, 23 now, I think now, plus contractors, so like more than 30 now. So we're getting bigger, and we're not on a hiring spree or anything, but we're just a bigger company. And I still want to, you know, run it pretty small and pretty casual and pretty, you know, without so much, you know, hierarchy, without so much, you know, the boss, the manager, the manager of manager or whatever. Like, and it's great, and we are trying to do that, and I think we are succeeding when we have our design fight team, we have our directors team right now. So we're trying to build these teams to make sure that we don't end up as a company with too much overhead, you know, because on one hand, I see that we can do that, but on the other hand, I see that people somehow strive for this hierarchy, for this. They should know who's the boss, who's responsible for what. So it's, you know, it's like a constant struggle to put responsibility where it should be, but then not create overhead, you know.
Yeah, it's actually quite strange to me to see that people want this hierarchy. Right. And I'm like, no, stop! It's so much fun. Don't break this. Honestly. It's one of the things I saw in your notes is the idea of working in small teams of really smart people, and that's just the best feeling in the world. Like when you work on something and there's just like a very small team and like everybody is like top of their game, and like you don't need a manager, you just collaborate very closely. And it's like so incredibly efficient, and it like sometimes you get surprised when you stumble upon the right project with the right group of like, you know, three people or something, and it's just you do great work in a very little time because you have zero overhead.
Yeah, this was one of my discoveries last year when I finally involved. Like our heads of support, of, you know, programming, you know, our CTO, like our heads into our like small directors team, directors meeting. And I realized I can offload lots of my responsibilities to our group, you know, to decide together things. And suddenly this meeting, which was previously a status meeting, what's happening with support, what's happening in the technology, what's happening in marketing, became like a similar to what we have in the Zeitfight. So like a group of like-minded people thinking how to steer the company forward, you know, how to move the company forward. And the meeting was more fun. And for me, it was like more relaxing that I could, like if I didn't know something, I would just tell them, guys, we have this problem. I have no clue how to solve it. I have some idea, but maybe you have other ideas. Let's try to solve it together. And then suddenly, it was just, you know, better. As I said, it was just, you know, working with a smart, you know, small group of smart people just solved this for me and took the burden out of my, you know, shoulders. And on the other hand, I realized, you know, I have these guys here. Let's just, you know, work this together just in a very similar way. So for me, you know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Anyway, like ending this show and talking about simplicity, I think I really liked this book, and I really recommend you read it anyway.
Okay, yeah. I wish I had more insights to share, but I need to read this first.
Yeah, so I really recommend you do that because, and maybe when you do, then we'll come back to some other insights because it's been quite a while since I read it. So, but like, the simplicity matters. I really like less is sometimes. Less is very often better. Not always. Sometimes less is just less, but usually less is better. And especially the simplicity, but not simplicity for simplicity's sake, but simplicity to really go direct to the point. And like, whenever we speak about productivity, we try to remove the barriers of entry, remove the obstacles. No, like you always recommend that we should learn the shortcuts. Like for example, the shortcut to add a task to Nosby from any app on a Mac because you designed it and you love it. But but the fact that we should remove the obstacles, the barriers of entry to do something, and with the simplicity, as you said, if we bring people on board and if we bring ourselves on board and try to remove the obstacles and talk more direct about things and allow ourselves to attack the problems directly and not just beat around the bush, yeah, we can get so much more done. It's just, I think it's one of also one of these productivity, you know, insights that recently I just discovered.
Cool. So are we just going to make this simple, short, to the point show and end it here?